I want to talk to you about the Word today. I got a word on the Word. Now, this will not be exhaustive on the Word, so, you know, sometimes people say, well, you didn't say this, or you didn't say that. If you say that to me the week after, I preach for 8 hours. Just fair warnings. No, I can't cover it all. There's so much good stuff. But I do have something today, so I want you to turn to Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119 and verse 11. And we're going to look at one verse there. And I just find this verse a really good verse to have in my arsenal of things that I just need to, you know, have in my memory bank, you know, be ready to use. So Psalm 119, verse 11, are you there? Uh-huh. Yeah, you've read it like 10 times already. Okay. It says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We hide the word in our hearts so we might not sin against him. How many of you have a verse or two that you would call like your favorite verse? You have some? Who can shout a verse out to me? Who's got a verse? What? Anybody? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The wife got it started. Who else has got a verse? Jeremiah 29:11, very popular right now. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. By the way, Bill Johnson just preached on that, and I've shared it a couple of times this year, but he had a really good word on it last Sunday. It was excellent. What else? What's another one? Be still and know that I am God. All right, and now the service is over. I'm going to sit down. Yeah. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I know that one because I have a melody to it in my head that goes all the way back to 1986 because I wrote a melody to it, and it's still in my head. We used to even sing it, I think, a little here for a while. It's kind of a hillbilly song, so, you know, makes sense that you would think of it. Maybe we can redo it so it's a little less country. Yeah, well, there are verses like that, right? We all have those verses. I hope you have a lot of verses. I have lots of verses. I've been even working some with the youth earlier this year, you know, trying to encourage them to have verses, have some word inside them. And this verse, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, is 15 words in the English. But isn't it interesting? When you look it up in the Hebrew, it's 4 words. They can say a lot in Hebrew in just a little bit, apparently. And that's kind of cool. So I got to looking at it, and I thought I would break down the 4 words. 4 Hebrew words that make this verse up, and break them down and just talk about each one just a little bit. So first, word. Thy word. I got to thinking about word. Now, while we think of the Bible as a whole, or do we really think of the Bible as a whole? I mean, do we include the books of concordance and maps? Is that God's word? Yeah, no, not exactly. So we think of the word. Is it just the red letters, or is the rest of it there important too? How do you think of it? The part that God said is usually the part that we think of as the word, but what was the word when this verse was written by the psalmist? I got to thinking about that a little bit. What would he have been referring to? And I'm not sure that we can just only include what he might have been thinking, because how many of you know that God inspired the psalmist, so he put this in there for us so that during our time we would have something to pull from as well? So, and this is interesting too, by the way, because scholars debate who wrote this psalm. Did you know that not all the Psalms were written by David? Some of you did know that. There was a guy named Asaph that even says in some of the Psalms, a Psalm of Asaph. But they actually think that some of the Psalms were written by other people as well, and they include Ezra, and they include Daniel, and they've got all these different things. And so I was studying that a little bit, you know, a little bit in the weeds there for the rest of us. You know, Pastor Tim likes to get in the weeds and wander around and look for things. Sometimes things pop out when you get in the weeds. That's not a bad thing. But we're not sure who wrote Psalm 119. Some scholars argue very vehemently that it had to be David for a reason, and then I saw a great argument for why it was Daniel, but I don't know. It's unlikely, though, that whoever wrote this had much more than the first five books. Maybe some prophetic stuff. But the first five books were what most of them were familiar with. And then we have to remember that really they didn't have a lot of opportunity to spend time in the first five books because there weren't like printing presses. So the first five books weren't out there for everybody. So they had to go someplace and they memorized it. Now there's an important part of this, I think. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Memorization of the word of God is an amazing thing. And when we have those words bouncing around in there and we need a word, sometimes the best thing that can happen to us is to pull a word out of that. And I think that was part of this. With that understanding, though, let me just read this to us because I believe we may have an advantage. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We have today even more to apply to this verse than any group of people in history. Think about that. We have the word of God abiding in us. Jesus himself is the word, and he lives in us. He said, I will not leave you, I will come to you. And then he said, I will come to you by the Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ himself, living inside of us. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Wow. I got Jesus in my heart. He becomes my focus. If I can remember to let him become my focus. Now, make sure you don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you don't read or memorize scripture, because what he has spoken to us by his Spirit can be found in the word. Have you ever been in the word and had something just poof, pop out at you? And you're just like, wow, I needed that right now. That's the power of what we have in the written word. But the written word is not the word. Jesus himself is the word. He's the purest form of the word. He can speak to us not only from the scripture and by the scripture and through the scripture, but he can speak to us. Somebody will say, you mean extra biblical? No, it'll agree with the scripture, but it'll also speak to our hearts. And he can bring back, he says, the words that I've spoken to you, I will bring back to you by the Spirit. You know, the Pharisees were really good with what they had of the word. They were really good with what they had of scripture. And still they missed Jesus. John 5:39 through 40, Jesus was speaking to this very group, and he said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So you can be really, really good. You can memorize the Bible even possibly. I don't know that that's completely possible, because I think if somebody really diligently gave themselves to memorizing the Bible, it would be hard not to find the God of the Bible. That'd be pretty tricky. I suppose it's possible, but it seems beyond my comprehension that anybody could do that. Religion is knowing stuff. What we want to know is him. And again, I'm not saying that we don't study the scriptures. But we study to know him, not to know more stuff. We study to know him, not to just know more stuff. Right now, I find myself reading the Gospels over and over and over. This has just been my thing lately. You know, some people, you got to read the whole Bible. No, you don't have to read. You know, you sometimes God will get you in an area. I've been reading the Bible. I've been reading the Gospels specifically because I just feel like I need to know what Jesus would say. And Jesus says some things in some interesting ways sometimes to some people. And sometimes it's not even that nice. Seems a little harsh. I've been looking at it. I've been watching it. And I've been thinking, Lord, how do I speak to a lot of situations that are going on right now? Well, I want to speak like Jesus would speak to things. I want to be carrying his voice inside of me. So when I speak to stuff, I speak him, which is the word of God. The next word in the Hebrew is the word that's translated hidden. But here's what's interesting about that word. And I won't try to bore you with the pronunciation of the Hebrew words, which I would have completely wrong anyway. But this word hidden, thy word have I hidden, is the second word. The idea is not, though, to put something where no one can find it. The idea of this word actually would be translated, well, let me read it to you from the Amplified Version. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Treasured. Whoa. That's interesting. Treasured. This speaks to what I'm valuing the most. And that's one of the things that maybe you don't struggle with it, but even as the pastor of the church, I can struggle with it. Valuing what I should be valuing the most in every situation. What do I value the most? See, sometimes I put a high value on certain things. You know, I can put a high value on how well my food was served to me at the restaurant, and I can be valuing that idea that this waitress needs to do a better job because she's not giving me much value in the way she's not refilling my cup or doing this or doing that. And I can value how I'm being served. But what if I start valuing Jesus in the middle of that? If I start valuing Jesus, I might start valuing her. If I start valuing her, then I might see that she's having a tough day. If I see that she's having a tough day, I might pray for her. If I pray for her, I might get a word for her. If I get a word for her, I might speak that word to her. If I speak that word to her, I might change her day. And all of a sudden, my value system gets changed to a better value system. Because why? Because I'm putting Jesus at the priority of my value system. So thy word have I treasured in my heart. If he is the focus of our lives, then we can expect the promised result in this verse. The one where it says, I won't sin. If we focus on other things, we might get another result. If we focus on him, we're going to get a good result. Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went out and sold all that he had, and he bought the field. He found a treasure, and he knew how much value there was in that, and he valued it so much that he went out and got rid of everything else, divested everything else, put aside everything else, and focused on the treasure. Treasuring Jesus is being sold out to Jesus. This man was sold out. He sold out everything so he could get the treasure. So when a man has a focus on the treasure, on Jesus, then he's going to have a perspective that's good. And that perspective fixes everything, literally, not fixed as in immobile, but fixed as in repairs. I need God to fix a lot of things in the way I think. I don't know about you, but I need God to fix things in the way I think. So when our attention is fixed, it'll get fixed. And when it's fixed on the word, on Jesus, then all the stuff going around us comes back to its proper perspective and its proper place in our lives. A lot of times this time of year, I will pull out a message that I've preached, I don't know, 5-6 times over the, you know, almost 40 years that I've been pastoring. And the message talks about holiday, hectic, crazy stuff. And in the middle of, you know, this time of year in our nation, the holidays are usually already pretty nuts. And I don't know, but maybe your holidays got a little nuttier this time around. Some people, actually, their holidays got a little less nutty because they were able to tell that relative who didn't agree with them in the last election they didn't have to come and visit them. So they weren't with somebody who was going to go about, you know, whose side they were on. Maybe that made their holiday better. I don't know. But for a lot of people, the holidays are more complicated right now because you've got to do this dance. Got to do this dance with, you know, mandates and requests and being careful and being considerate and thinking about the people you would invite and you know, and checking your temperature and all that stuff to make sure that you're safe. And it's just, it's kind of nutty right now. So we have to have a perspective of things. And it's easy to get out of perspective when everything around us is going crazy. And in a normal holiday season, things around us get pretty crazy. It's even worse this year. So our perspective is very, very, very important. The next word is the word heart. I've already kind of alluded to this a little bit, but the word deals with the you, the inner you, the you that you live with every day, the you that you can't get rid of, your inner man. And that's where that word really needs to be abiding. Like, it needs to be the center of me. It needs to be right in my core. I, he can't be the focus of my life if he isn't even the focus of my day. Let me say that again. He can't be the focus of my life if I can't even make him the focus of my day. Now, if I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me, and hallelujah, I'm getting it. Because I need to hear it. But really, sometimes it's like we hit the ground running in the morning because there's so much to get ready for, so much to do, so much to accomplish. And we know what that's like. We had some family over, and we had kind of two separate family experiences. One was three little kids, and one was one bigger kid. And I'm not sure who tore the house up more. But, you know, that's what happens. Probably the bigger kid, because he was playing with a really big kid, and we were playing with those guns that shoot Nerf darts, and Nerf darts were everywhere, and we were running around like a couple of crazy people. And, you know, you hit the ground running because they're going to be here. Wow, we got to get our showers, got to get this gun, got to get that done, you know, and then sometimes you don't even get everything done that you need to get done, and then it's like, oh, I wanted to do that. And again, It's keeping things in perspective. Keeping things in perspective. So it doesn't mean that I don't do anything but sit around and you know, read my Bible and pray. You know, if there's anybody who has maybe time to do that or can make that a priority of time, it's probably the guy who gets paid to be the pastor. You know, he can literally tell people, I'm sorry, I have to go off to a time of prayer. Excuse me. You know, but I'll be honest with you, the pastors are busy too. There's lots of stuff going on. Stuff. Always stuff. So what it does mean is that I involve him in everything that I'm doing. I invite him in on making the green bean casserole or whatever it is you have to have at your Thanksgiving to make it good. I invite him in to the activities that are going on. I stay aware of him, or I try to help myself stay aware of him in everything that I'm doing. And I take breaks. And I did that this week a little bit maybe better than I have sometimes in the past. Last week I talked about the gift of Thanksgiving and the gift of praying in the Spirit and how they're combined. And I found myself praying in the Spirit a lot this week. Just praying in the Spirit a lot. Just stopping and praying in the Spirit over situations, over circumstances, over whatever I was doing or going through or felt like I was going through. Jesus wants to partner with you and me in everything in our lives. He wants to partner with us. And he wants us to be so focused on him that we can participate in his divine nature. The NIV uses that word, participate in his divine nature, in 2 Peter 1:4. That God wants us to participate with him. So we're not just doing this alone. We're not just running our race separately from him. We're running his race in us and doing the things that he's called us to do. So we have a new nature. And by the way, that nature is supernatural. This might be a preview to an upcoming message, I don't know, but I've been writing some things down about supernatural. You all do realize that everybody on the planet, every person that I know, at least in that I've come in contact with, every person I've ever met is supernatural. And they act supernatural and function supernaturally every day. I'll give you an example. They get in a car and they drive at speeds of up to 60 miles an hour, sometimes more. And that is not natural. There's nothing natural about human beings moving more than about 4 or 5 miles an hour unless they're really good. And then they can, I don't know, how fast does the super fastest human run speed-wise? Can a human get up to 30 miles an hour? You know? He's going to check. Yeah. I got our cross-country coach here. He'll tell us how fast a human can go naturally under human speed. But it ain't that fast. And some of you, you've never been that fast on your own. You've not even been that fast on a bicycle. You know, you don't go that fast. We don't naturally go that fast. So we speed along. How fast does a plane go? Like 600 miles an hour, right? I've been on airplanes. That's not natural. So we have this nature given us by God where we have a tendency to do things that cause us to supersede nature. It's not natural to have a lot of the conveniences that we have. If we wanted to be natural, we'd just go out in the woods and cover up with a pile of leaves. Try to find a way to keep ourselves warm. And that'd be natural. Well, that's another message for another time. But we, I think, were designed by God to be more than we can be on our own. And we use all sorts of things to supersede nature. But here's why. Yes? miles per hour for the world record in the 100-meter dash. There we go. 23. So yeah, there's nothing in my bones that would ever get to that speed. So naturally, I don't know if I've even made it to 10 miles an hour on my own naturally, but yesterday I was going a bit faster than that when I had to take and drive Lisa's mama back down to see family in Logan, and I got met halfway, which was really great. So thank you to my brother-in-law, but you're busy right now, you're preaching. Anyway, I think God designed human beings to become more than natural from the very beginning was his plan, that we would be not just natural, that we would do things that were beyond just laying around in the woods like critters do. That's just an interesting thought. But the things around us can get very busy for us, and they're vying for our attention. And, well, that's the time that we need to reach into our treasure to reach for Jesus. And that's when his word will do its complete work in our lives. So I don't know how to get this in your thinking, but maybe just talking about it will get it there. But the next time you are feeling like, here's the thing, do you know anybody, you probably never say this, but do you know anybody who will say, like, my stress level's up to here? If 5 more minutes and I'm going to lose it. Those moments are the moments where you should be going, Jesus, where are you, Jesus? I need you, Jesus. I need to get you out of here and out and up into here and out into here, into my atmosphere, so that I can not sin against you. Yes, that sin thing. We talked about that just a couple weeks ago, didn't we? The funny thing about this is the word sin is actually the last of the four words. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, or treasured in my heart. In my heart, thy word treasured heart, sin. I got to looking at it, and I was like, well, how did they get this sin against you thing? It's the word sin, but how did they get the sin against you? And there are people who understand tenses and they can do things with verbs. I conjugate this and that. I don't even know what that all means. That just confuses me. It's always been a problem for me. But what was funny was I was looking at all these versions, and there are so many versions out there of the Bible now. And, you know, you can go to some place like Bible Gateway and just see a ton of them, or Bible Hub, and it'll have one verse repeated over and over and over in a bunch of different languages, or not languages, but translations. And yeah, if you want to, then you can go to the, if you can speak other languages, you can go to the other languages and see them in that too. But what got me was I couldn't find the words against you, because the words against you aren't technically there. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin. So I did find one version out of all the versions, Young's literal translation. That should tell you a little something. Young tried to keep his translation as literally as he could without losing the meaning of the verses or the words. He says, "My heart I have hid, in my heart I have hid thy saying, that I sin not before thee." Let me read it again. I want to say it the way I memorized it all those years ago. "In my heart I have hid thy saying, that I sin not before thee." We know, I've talked about this just a couple of weeks ago, that sin is just the idea of missing the mark. And that's true of both the Hebrew and the Greek. The idea is to miss something and not get it right. But sin has been kind of taught over the years as just breaking the rules. You're a rule breaker. You're a sinner. You broke the rules. Don't break those rules, you bad person. You broke the rules. And that's the way people think of sin so often. And then they feel bad because they broke the rules. And now everybody's mad because you broke the rules. Sin isn't just breaking God's rules. And God doesn't want to just live, he doesn't want us to just live by the rules. If the rules were the major thing that God wanted us to live by, then he would have put the rules on Adam and Eve right in the garden. He would have had a whole list of rules. He was really had one thing he told them not to do, and that wasn't because he didn't want them to be able to do it. He didn't want them to have some experience that was going to come when they did it. God wants us to live in relationship with him. This is what's the most important thing to God. So God isn't keeping score of who breaks the rules and who doesn't break the rules. That's not what he's trying to do. And a lot of times that's the picture we have. Yep. Well, there goes Hacker again. Oh, there we go. Gee, wait. You know, he keeps doing it. What's with that? See, sin is actually missing out on what God has for us. And we need to change our thinking about this, because when we run around thinking that we are going to mess up, you know what we end up doing? We mess up. It's kind of like saying, don't picture a pink elephant. Don't picture it. And as soon as they say don't picture it, your brain wants to try to picture it. The Apostle Paul actually referred to this in the scripture, by the way. Some people say, I'm not sure that's scriptural. Right here it is, Romans 7, verses 7 and 8. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. As soon as I'm told that's bad, then sin tries to get me to do that. So again, the focus is on Jesus and not our ability. I don't treasure him so I won't mess up. I treasure him so I won't miss out. Let me say that again. I don't treasure him so I won't mess up. I treasure him so I won't miss out. And that's where sometimes we've got this idea that needs to be adjusted. I don't focus my life on him just so I won't make him mad. I focus my life on him so that I get everything, every bit of every moment that he has for me, every good thing, because he's not withholding any good thing, the scripture says. No good thing will he withhold. And when the focus is on him, when he is my focus, then I start to become the manifestation of him in the earth. I start to walk like him and talk like him and think like him and function like him, and I start to become something really, really useful. Now, remember I spoke about this 2 weeks ago, and the title of the message was Sin is Stupid. And we were taking all the verses with sin, and we were putting the word stupid in place of sin, for all have done stupid and fallen short of the glory of God. So we were plugging stupid in for sin. So here is the Tim Hacker translation of today's verse from Psalm 119. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not be stupid. Yeah. It's a good translation. I think it's a good translation because I don't want to be stupid. Nobody wants to be stupid. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. And I don't want to do stupid stuff. And see, if I have Jesus in the middle of everything and I'm doing my stuff and there's an awareness of him, then I become awareness. I become aware of the stupid that I'm doing. See, I did it right there. I said something stupid and I fixed it because I became aware of it. If you become aware of the stupid thing you're doing, then you have a chance to change the stupid thing you're doing. And the awareness of stupid is enhanced when I have my focus on remembering whose I am and who I am in him and who he says I am and who he is in me. And when I realize that what I'm doing, I do this a lot. Like I'll be in the middle of a project. I'll be trying to fix something and I'll realize this isn't working. And I'll step back from it and I'll look at it and I'll think about it and I'll say, well, duh. No wonder it's not working. And the answer will come to you. But if you put Jesus in the middle of everything, then he's going to be like, hey, that's not working. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's not working. I got a better idea. And that allows me to make corrections on the fly. And I don't mind making corrections. I would rather make corrections on the fly than have to go back and undo it later and have to redo it because I made such a mess out of it. I just cut it off and start all over. I'm thinking plumbing right now. That's what I'm thinking. You know, just cut it off and start over again. Throw those pieces that you bought away. Go get more pieces just like them. Do it right this time. But if the master plumber is right there with me, he's like right in the middle of doing it. And I want my life to be plumb. It's going to be plumb better if I let Jesus right in the middle of everything. Just saying. And here I am doing the best I know how. And whatever I'm doing my best. But I begin to see that it's not working. So I change it. I repent. Change the way you think. This plumbing, I just feel so bad about it. I'm going to leave it, but I'm not going to change it. No, that's not repentance. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to change the way I think. And if I can change the way I think on the fly, then I don't have to fix it again. I don't have to tear it all out. And that's what he's after. The level of awareness of him causes me to feel his direction, to feel his wind in my sails helping me go the right direction. And instead of feeling bad about what I'm missing, I feel really good about what I'm changing. Did you get that? Instead of feeling bad about what I'm missing, I can feel really good. Even though I feel kind of stupid that I didn't know better, yet I now know better. So it's better. And better's, I don't know, better. Now, couple this with what I talked about last week of praying in the Spirit on all occasions. And soon, I'm experiencing that in all things God works to the good thing that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. So, this is the goal. The goal is to treasure Jesus in a focused way that keeps me from stupid and from stupid stuff. My focus is not on what I don't want to do. My focus is on inviting the Word into everything that I do. into everything that I'm experiencing. And when I do that, it changes my experience. So I would just encourage you to be the one who treasures him. Be that one. Cool. I want to pray over you. I don't know where to tell you to put your hands today. I guess on your heart again. We did that last week. Part of me thinks it needs to be up here too. Put your hand where you need it the most, in the center, wherever the problem is. Father, just thank you that Jesus can be right in the middle of everything, and that everything can be so much better with Jesus right in the middle of everything. I pray that this will sink into the hearts and minds of those who hear this message. I pray that we will find ourselves, when we hear ourselves lamenting about the stress, we will find ourselves looking to see you in the middle of everything and to focus on you and to bring you joyfully into the situation to make the adjustments that we can't make without you. We believe, God, that we'll hide your word, we'll treasure it inside of us, in our very beings. And as a result, the stupid stuff will get cast aside and we will move forward in victory. And this we pray for everyone who hears this. In Jesus' name, amen.